Hello. Welcome to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Today we're taking a break from taxes to talk about something a little more pleasant, upcoming summertime fun. And where better to have that than in Anchorage Parks? My guests today are Beth Nordland, and she is the deputy director of the Anchorage Parks, and Suzanne Little, and she is the senior parks planner. Say hi, Beth.
Hello.
And Suzanne.
Hello.
It's good to have you aboard, and I'm glad you are taking some time from your very busy schedule to come in and talk to us today about parks. And, of course, they're all under several inches, if not feet, of snow and ice right now, but spring.
And a bit of ash.
Ash, little ash. Yeah, there's all that, too. And there, spring is not that far away. It's pushing into the 40s, and in another couple of weeks, we'll see green grass everywhere. So it's probably time to spruce up those parks. And I understand that the city has completed a series of public meetings regarding some renovations to the municipal parks. So what's the input you're hearing?
Well, we're working on our five-year strategic plan update where we're sort of trying to get input from park users and people who care about parks. Everyone, actually, about what they would like to see our parks doing and being in 5 years. So we've had four district meetings and have gotten a lot of great input from people who attended those meetings. And now our next step is going to be to sort of take our show on the road and go, instead of asking people to come to us, we're going to go to different groups and ask some questions like, you know, what do you like best? What improvements would you like to see in our parks, and kind of carry on that conversation so we have a good roadmap to follow for the next 5 years.
Right, and just for our listeners' information, the city, the four districts are, get this, Northeast, Northwest, Southeast, and Southwest. And I was going to direct this question to Beth. Are the different districts, do they use the parks differently? Is there a difference in how Northeast Anchorage uses parks other than, like, Southeast Anchorage?
Well, they all have different assets. In the Southeast, they have less community parks. In the Northwest, they have the older, more established parks, and there are more of them. And in the Northeast, very diverse populations, so different community uses there.
So let's talk a little bit about, just for background, I'm understanding there's something like 250 parks in Anchorage?
223 parks in Anchorage.
223.
And 250 miles of trail.
That is very impressive. Very impressive.
We have 110 fields that are used for athletic play. And I believe it's 83 playgrounds.
Now, how does Anchorage rate when it comes to that amount of recreational space? And this is public, free to the public. There's no costs here.
Right. We rank as very fortunate. In other words, we have one of the higher numbers of park resources per capita of most cities.
Right. And I was going to just get at some of the uses of the parks. It seems to me, I mean, I used to run. I used to rollerblade in my flaming youth. So I had plenty of time in the parks, and I still do. But I see all kinds of uses. Can you give me a rundown on what you can use the parks for?
Soccer, cross-country skiing, and we have, you know, winter use, summer use, canoeing. We also have some new uses being requested, you know, cricket. We don't really have a cricket place, but we have some people who play cricket who would like to do that somewhere. So, you know, it's a morphing sort of thing. It changes as people's interests change.
Wow. So new sports are often coming online, and I'm a little maybe not quite in touch with the high school kids and what they're doing these days, but I'm sure that they're doing something out there because I see you know, the parks during the summer months, the parks are just, they're full. They're full. Now, does that in itself cause a problem? There's obviously a maintenance question, and there's, you know, other you know, people don't really think of how much work goes into keeping those parks.
Yeah, Beth can probably be the person to tell us the percentage of our budget that's taken up with maintenance. It's mostly what we do, maintaining the parks in a safe, green status so that people can be assured of having a safe and fun experience when they go there.
We have a large budget, but we also have a large amount of assets to take care of, including five municipal pools and rec centers. And so the mowing and the taking care of our land, let's see, 80% of the municipal park land is what we call natural resource land, and that is the unmowed and only lightly taken care of land. We do have an urban forester that's focused on some of those forest assets, but for the most part, when people are thinking of their active recreation spaces, they're thinking of that 20%.
And that 20% would be the fields, so the soccer fields, as you mentioned. The bike paths is included in this. The bike paths, which are get tremendous use, obviously. And I was going to say the picnic tables, the little shelters over
the trash cans.
The trash cans.
A lot of trash cans. Bear-proof trash containers, hopefully.
Parking lots. So all this takes maintenance. So let's put that on hold for just a minute and get back to this the four districts and the public input. What are you hearing, Suzanne, from the public as to what people want in our parks?
Well, we've started each of our meetings with sort of asking people to tell us what they love about our parks. And the thing that's so impressive to me is that people are passionate about what they like in our park system. So you can tell when people start telling their story about what they like, they are personally connected to our park system. So that always gives me a lot of hope and optimism that, you know, people really love our park systems on a real personal level. And that sort of gives us fuel to solve all the problems that we have that come later in the meeting when we discover that there are some issues we need to address. So I think the most significant thing for me has been just hearing how deeply people, the parks contribute to their quality of life.
It's a big part of people's lives here in Anchorage.
Yeah, their children play in the sandbox there. We were talking about the Valley of the Moon, the rocket ship slide, which has been there forever, and it still has little kids sliding down that slide every day I go by. And I can't imagine life without the parks. So what do you say to people who say, well, you live in Alaska, what do you need parks for? Did you already get that?
No, I think it's part of the big wildlife that people are looking for here in Anchorage. We are an urban wilderness, and our parkland, you know, not everyone associates municipal parkland differently than the state parks or the national forest. We have a lot of spaces that are treasured public lands that we use.
So I was just going to try to get at the fact that you did get some public input about some renovations, shall we say, that some of the parks would need. And the city is putting together like a five-year program to address these. What are some of the things people have asked for?
Well, some things people are talking about are figuring out the missing trail connections.
That's a big one.
So that we can use the trails for transportation as well as for recreational activities, because there are some missing places, missing segments. Some other things are we're hearing people talk about our process for planning, about how they would like to feel more involved in the process. So we're working on our public involvement plan, kind of trying to solve some of those particular problems by having a public involvement plan that does what people want to see us do. But, you know, it asks them, what do you want? And we're, that's a puzzle, because we don't know how to reach all the people who use our parks.
Or those people can reach you, though.
Oh, right.
Through
mm-hmm.
the website, the city website?
Yes. Our parks website is has all of our contact information, and people are able to either email us or give us a phone call, too.
That doesn't get you all the interesting pockets of users, however. There are people out there trying new games, and we need to go to them and find out, you know, what's the best use of this space for you? How's this community barbecue space working out? What's the highest and best use of our maintenance dollar, right?
Exactly. And as we were talking earlier about the changing uses of some of the parks, I know I've lived near Valley of the Moon and Westchester Lagoon for years and years and years. And some years I ran, you know, all those years. And one day I saw them putting these bizarre thingies up with chains, and it looked like old rubber tires and these little cage kind of things. I could not figure out what the heck it was. Turned out it was a Frisbee golf course.
Oh, right.
Which is tremendously popular.
People love that.
I see those. They play all winter. I go out to the park in the evenings and summer, and the high school and college kids are out there playing Frisbee golf, and you know, they play it all winter.
Another thing that's really popular is the off-leash dog parks.
Oh, yeah.
People can't say enough about those. And, of course, those take some planning, and you want to take care of the land, but also people in Anchorage own dogs.
Oh. So, right, before we get to park budget, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of these fix-it ideas that are coming up this summer, and in which you would like the public to get involved. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Brad, you want to talk about that a little?
We are rich in volunteers. That's one thing we have a lot of. We average about 90,000 volunteer hours a year. Last fall, we had about 1,000 volunteers take it to their neighborhood parks and assess the condition of those neighborhood parks. And those are the ones with obscure names you've never heard of unless it's next to your house, you know, walking distance kind of parks. And they went out and they decided that they graded their parks based on, you know, how the entryways look, how useful the active spaces are. They took a look at the whole thing. And we walked away with some extensive fix-it lists. And this summer we'll be working actively in 14 neighborhood parks all over the city. And we've got a calendar of events up on our website. I've got them all in front of me. But we're hoping to attract volunteers. But we also have some private money and some city money that we're applying towards the park fix-it. So they'll be almost like extreme park makeovers. You know, we'll have contractors come in and prep the site, and we'll have the volunteers come in and do some things. And, you know, and then in one fell swoop, we'll replace all the park furniture, and you'll be there the next week and say, wow, what happened here?
And some of these fix-it projects would include removing graffiti. Is that a big problem?
It's a big problem, yeah. Mm-hmm. The graffiti buster line is 343 gone, and I have it programmed into my phone in case I ever run into it. But you want to take care of graffiti as soon as you see it. There's a small cadre of volunteers that are very active in getting rid of graffiti, but if we can do it more systematically, we'll do a better job of preventing it.
And speaking of phone numbers, I'd like to encourage our listeners to call in if they have a comment or a question about city parks. Our number is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, you can call 1-888-353-5752 or shoot us an email at communityforum@kska.org. My guests today are Beth Nordland and Suzanne Little, and they are advocating for city parks renovation and upkeep and and use. And as Anchorage grows, the population swells. Are there
differences in the use of our parks, considering we have such an influx of the last 10 years of various diverse ethnic groups?
Well, as the bowl fills in, there is, especially with multi-housing units, I think the need for our parks grows because, you know, a kid who's growing up in an apartment is going to need and want to be outdoors and, you know, have the outdoor experiences that they would be able to get in a park more than a person who has a backyard, for instance. So as we fill in and become more dense in our population, I think the need for our parks grows. You're right.
And parks, you know, throughout history have been incredibly rich community gathering spaces. And we see it now with some of our minority populations. Now, of course, in Anchorage, our minority populations are at 51% of the population. So we've got some interesting pockets of people who are using the parks very differently, but definitely keeping that tradition of parks as community gathering spaces alive.
And the whole idea of parks, as you said, goes back to this community gathering space, which goes all the way back to the town square, the town commons, which is really part of our American culture, which is, you know, a lot of people who are coming to Anchorage did not come from areas where there was a lot of public land, there was maybe a lot of crowding, and this is a new experience for them, and perhaps an experience that they appreciate a little more than your average American. Would you have a comment on that?
I've heard some of the youth employment and parks teens talk about their experiences. We had some that, you know, are not originally from the United States, from warm climates now. Maybe we'll start to see interesting park uses happening as soon as this snow melts.
Well, let's take a break and pick up a couple of phone calls here. We'd like to go to line 10. Liz?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Welcome to Community Forum. Do you have a question or a comment for us?
Yes, I do. I apologize if I raise an issue that was addressed early on. I got onto your program just a few minutes into it. But my question is, I live in Eagle River, and I've always felt a separateness, which I think is official as of maybe a few years ago, but I feel like our parks are treated almost in a second-rate nature. As a parent, kids, particularly when they were younger, I was finding that I was driving into Anchorage all the time to use the parks, and felt like there was a big need for facilities in the Eagle River area that provided some of the cool programs that you do in Anchorage.
Well, Liz is right. I think that the Eagle River taxpayers decided we want some of our own facilities, and they voted, it's been more than 5 years now, for their own levy, and they started from not a lot of park facilities, so they were excited to get resources every year where they can build facilities. And I think they've got some trails under construction now and are very happy with this levy or the pay-as-you-go model. They're not out there bonding and watching their bonds fail. So they've got a continuous source of that kind of money. I don't know how their operating dollars look in terms of recreation programs, but they are separate, and they are you know, they have their own director, John Rada, in Eagle River.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does that answer your question, Liz?
It does, but then maybe that begs the comment, how do we make, how do I go about, I guess, feeling like our parks are more usable to the part of the community that I belong to, the sort of people that maybe I'm representing in this phone call, you know, parents of little kids. I think our parks do a pretty good job. You know, the ski park, the Beach Lake ski trails are wonderful. But it's, I think the missing gap there is programs and facilities maybe for littler kids.
Well, you definitely need to have your voice be heard. And your director, John Rada, I'm sure would take your call at any time, but hopefully they'll be doing some strategic planning and getting the kind of input we're getting. But in the meantime, we're learning from you. I'm hoping we can get an Eagle River funding model on our ballot next April.
Okay, and I hope we're learning from you guys and formulating a plan for some more of those great programs.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Liz.
You very much.
Thanks for calling. Let's go to line three, and I see Jen is holding.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Jen.
Hi. I was just wondering if you have any park projects, either volunteer or otherwise, planned for much-loved Valley of the Moon Park. I used to live just across the street from it, and I still live in the area, and I'm always pleased at the number of cars, and it's very, very highly used in the summer especially, and I'm just wondering if there's any improvements or projects planned in the area.
We're getting ready to have a neighborhood gathering at Valley of the Moon Park just to gain input from people about what people would like to see done there. Actually, three of our larger community parks, we're hoping to be able to do some good work in them soon.
That's Goose Lake, Jewel Lake, and Valley of the Moon. And we're moving forward with those park projects because we actually have funding for those park projects. But we need to take some time to take some more public input.
So what we're getting ready to accept nominations for a committee that will help us make decisions about those three parks. So this is a community advisory committee, and we're not only going to have the committee, but we're also going to invite the public to come and sort of meet with us at the park and give us some suggestions about what you'd like to see there.
We don't have a date yet, Jen, but we're shooting for, say, the 1st of September to get out there for a community gathering. And we'll also take another opportunity, Ellen, to do some more park report cards, especially in those areas that we didn't assess previously. So hopefully a lot of those volunteers will get out, hit the parks, and give us more of their feedback.
Right, and with these increasing report cards, as you call them, with all the 223 parks, it's going to take a little while, but you hope to cover all of them. Is that your? Did we answer your question, Jen?
Yes, you sure did. In fact, I'll pass it on to my community council because there's a lot of the members who attend the community council meetings, have a lot of interest in the local parks, and they probably would be great volunteers. So I'll make sure we look out for that later this summer. That's,
great.
That did answer my question.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Jen. In fact, you have anticipated my next question, and I was thinking community councils. How can people use their community councils to address park questions?
We have our new structure with these park districts. We have a park district manager for every district. And those park district managers attend community councils regularly. And they bring feedback, and they also collect comments so that we can have an interaction with the community councils. Some of the community councils are more active than others, and we have to be creative in ways to communicate with other neighbors. But we have done a few rounds of challenge grants, and we've engaged many community councils in making substantial park improvements in recent history.
Right, because our parks are, in a way, an advertisement for our city. I mean, I think tourists come here, visitors come here in the summer, and they are amazed. I mean, just the park strip itself is so unique, and it's so beautifully landscaped. But, of course, all of that maintenance and repairs and the work that goes into keeping our parks nice costs money. And although you're hearing from the public about what they want and what they want fixed, the public also voted down Prop 4, which is a fairly modest bond proposal. Can either of you comment on that? And how will that affect your work this summer?
Well, we live in interesting times and an interesting economic climate. The bonds went down, but they didn't go down in flames. I think it was, still respectable. It's disappointing for us, but it was a very small amount. And the turnout was low as well. So those are all my rationalizations for still keeping at it.
I voted yes.
Yeah.
Well, and the interesting part about that particular bond is that it would provide, it would have provided a match for all these matching grants that require a match. So it puts us behind for sure, but it doesn't keep us from strategizing about how to move forward next year.
I think the community that's got to be the most disappointed are the soccer users, because they have a big Rasmussen Foundation Challenge grant, and they have $4 million still accessible to them to make field improvements in our neighborhood and competitive fields. So they have some fundraising to do if they want to access that Rasmussen money. But also, you know, the municipality has got to put some skin in this game.
Right. I love that phrase, skin in this game. How about the cricket users? Right. Are they up in arms? Well, this is amazing. I am learning more about parks than I ever knew before. I really did not know it was so organized. And now that I've been living in Anchorage for the past 15 years, and, you know, I use the parks. They're there, and you take it so for granted that they are there, and they'll always be just dandy. But I think it takes a lot of work to keep them in shape.
Well, we should probably say that we're so lucky with the community assets we have.
Just going to say,
I mean, our founding fathers bought up the green spaces around our creeks and gave us this tremendous resource that we could build our greenbelt trails around. And other communities are starting from, you know, reclaiming areas around their waterways and just getting started with some of these basic building blocks that we already have. But it takes money to maintain them, as we keep saying.
Well, tell me about, like, there's quite a few programs where people could volunteer their time. There's the Creek Clean Up Program there. What are some of the others?
Well, we have several volunteer projects that are accessible to all kinds of groups. Adopt a park, adopt a trail, adopt a garden. And then we have other just one-day programs where you can come in and do a clean and green. You can clean up and maybe do some painting and brushing of a park. And we're very involved with Day of Caring, and we are very involved with the citywide cleanup that is in May every year with the Chamber of Commerce. So there are just ample opportunities for volunteering. And we also have a lot of different user groups that get very interested in specific park improvements and even want to get some play equipment installed, or, you know, maybe the Rowing Association wants to build a dock or something like that. So the Anchorage Park Foundation has been issuing challenge grants every 2 years. There'll be another one in 2010.
So great. So there is ample opportunity for people who maybe have a unique request for a park or something new, such as the Frisbee Golf Course. I mean, at one point, somebody stepped forward and said, hey, we need a Frisbee Golf Course. And the city listened. Let's just give out a little more information on that. You can reach the city parks through www.muni.org/parks or anchorageparkfoundation.org. We'll have further information on how to contact your city and get your requests on board. So I'd like to go for a short break in a moment and then get back to some summer park and play program for the little ones, okay? So we'll be back with you in just a few seconds.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer, and my guests today are Beth Nordland and Suzanne Little, and they are Deputy Director and Senior Parks Planner for Anchorage Municipal Parks, of which I'm finding out there's 223. That's a lot of land. And 14 of them are slated this summer for a facelift and a fixer-up. And I wanted to talk to Suzanne a little bit here about the Summer Park and Play Program for the little ones. What's on the agenda now?
Oh, actually, Beth is the right person to talk about that.
Well, Park and Play is a drop-off program. It's intended to serve maybe some neighborhoods that have areas of need where we can provide healthy recreation opportunities at no cost to families in situations who don't have regular paid child care, or they're just not getting out and recreating. So we have five of these park and play programs. One's in Government Hill, that's Sunset Park. And then in Mountain View, we have Davis Park. And then we have three lakes, Goose Lake, Taku Lake, and Jewel Lake Park. I know Goose Lake has the free and reduced lunch program as well, I believe, this year for dinner. So these places will be hopping, and I can guarantee they'll be fun because the youth employment and parks teens are going to help make them fun. You may know about youth employment and parks. They've been doing a lot of park work according to theme in the last 2 years with waterways, trails, and forests. And last year we started it in the recreation programs. So they'll be playing in those five parks according to waterways, trails, and forest themes. Now, youth programs always have themes. So it might as well be the forest instead of the Hawaiian luau. That's what I say. This will be a blast. And it'll be Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 in those five locations. We're excited about offering that free family service.
Right. And that will start June 8th and run through July 31st. And again, you can find more information on that on the muni.org/parks website. You were mentioning with these young kids, is there an age limit now on this?
No. Whoever totters over to the park, we're interested in. We're going to ask them to take sign-in sheets home with their families, but just for family contact information. But it's we'd like to serve everyone,
right.
So it'll be very fun.
Get the kids out to outside in the fresh air, get some exercise, and learn something about forests and the environment, too.
Well, we just had a session in Anchorage this last fall advocating that we help kids get outdoors. It was called Get Outdoors Anchorage. And there's a concern, and it's a real concern in our nation, that so many kids are technologically connected that they really aren't taking the opportunities to get outside and play in the out-of-doors. So we see that the statistics show that this may be the generation that does not outlive its parents because of that. So we have a real responsibility in our park system to encourage outdoor play and activity.
Yeah, real play. I'd like to stop for just a brief moment here and go to the phone. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking the call.
Hi, Steve.
I have a question and comment about park bonds and maybe a suggestion for why this last one failed. My neighbors and I live near the Delaney Park Strip, and during the beginning of the early years of the Begich administration, there was a park bond that the voters approved to make improvements to the Delaney Park Strip. And then my recollection is that those funds were diverted to some planning instead of the capital improvements that they were voted for. And then a few years later, the identical park bond came up again and was voted for again. And I'm not sure that even all the improvements that it was voted for the second time were done. And perhaps you could explain what actually happens with the park bond money, and is my understanding correct that there is no separate accounting for that bond money, so that if the bond money is voted for to have been approved by the voters for one project, it can be used for whatever project that at least the last administration wanted to use it for.
I've heard that before, Steve, and I tell you, it's important to be transparent and accountable if you're going to have any credibility to live to tell the next tale when the next bonds come around. Unfortunately, I wasn't around during the ones that you're talking about that passed during the Park Strip, because I do think that the ones that passed for the Delaney Park Strip that you're referring to was just slightly before the Begich administration, if it wasn't the first year. But I hear you, and I have struggled with being as clear and transparent as possible with some of these projects, because the money does actually get a little complicated. But I think you're right. I think it's possible to use park bond money for projects that that weren't clearly identified. So that possibility is always out there. I'll tell you this, at the Anchorage Park Foundation, where I raise money as the development director, when private donors give to the Anchorage Park Foundation for a specific purpose, we are obligated to spend it specifically for that purpose. And they're donor-advised funds, and we have separate accounting for all of those projects. So I'm much more familiar with that set of accounting. Suzanne?
Well, and I want to let Steve know that it's a process. Once you get money, you know, you can't really do construction drawings, for instance, until you have the money in place.
You're right.
And usually we want to do what the public wants. So there needs to be a public involvement process before you finalize the construction drawing. So it's a time-consuming process. It takes time once you get the funding approved to actually have the project bid and to have construction begun. Sometimes it can take 2 years. So,
and sometimes there's a new mayor.
Right. Well, and I do know that some major planning efforts have been done recently on the Delaney Park Strip involving the community gaining a lot of public input on what is needed and desired there.
Yeah, on the Park Strip specifically, I think we are ready to go with the plan if funding were to come along, which it does sometimes.
That answer your question, Steve?
Well, it does. It was the Begich administration that was in office when the first bond passed for the Park Strip, and Mayor Begich answered questions about this on, I think, the same talk show a number of years ago, where he said that he was constantly pestered by people approaching him about that bond project, that park improvement project. And his response, as I recall, was essentially that once the voters approved the bonds, his administration's position was that they could use that money for whatever they wanted, including planning as opposed to the capital improvements. And they used a substantial amount of that bond money that was passed during the early years of his first term for planning as opposed to the actual construction. And then, again, the voters approved the exact same bond issue again, and several of the community councils called for separate accounting for the projects that those bonds were approved for. And the administrations, at least in the last 10 or 15 years, have steadfastly resisted separate accounting for those bond issues because they wanted to be able to use the money wherever, whenever they felt appropriate, notwithstanding what the money was represented to the voters to be for. So that's why I said I'm curious to know what this is, what the current administration and future administration's positions will be on that, so that people will know that when they're voting for a park bond, that if the purpose of it is to install electric service on the north side of the Delaney Park Strip, it's not going to go to some architect for doing a design for a park in South Anchorage or something other than what it was represented to the voters to have been intended for. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Steve, I hope the acting mayor isn't listening, because I didn't knock this one out of the park.
Well, perhaps maybe we need a little more clarification in our bond language that appears on the ballot, too. That's another way of addressing that. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate your call.
Yep.
Okay. So what were we going to talk about? Oh, the Summer Park and Play program was we had discussed that. And I wanted to – I'm curious to know what advantages the parks – hold for young adults, high school, college. I know we have, obviously they play softball and baseball there. They go riding their bikes and do the various activities. But are there employment activities for youth?
The Youth Parks? Employment and Parks Program started 3 summers ago. And we've gradually gotten a little bigger each year and moved into new realms. We're very excited. We had 220 applications for our 47 positions this year. So very popular. And they do work in the parks. On the waterways-themed weeks, they do stream bed renovation, and they do water quality data collection. And they hear from, you know, hydrologists and scientists that are very associated with those projects.
So it's an education opportunity for kids as well as earning some money.
Recreation. They also play. So it's very fun. Those kids that are in the Youth Employment and Parks program are having a blast.
And
they're getting paid.
Yeah.
16 to 18.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. And they are getting paid and mm-hmm. they're making a little money and being responsible and having a good time.
And they're getting mentored.
Mm-hmm.
We have kids from all the high schools, so they're meeting people from all over town, and they're making friends all over town and then joining Facebook with friends all over town. They're staying in touch and staying in touch also with Alaska Youth for Environmental Action and the other programs that they learn about in this program. So we've seen some of the kids that participated last summer on panels that get up and talk about kids getting outdoors. And we've really seen some growth from some of the participants.
And so for a three-year program, this really gets kids into public service.
And stewardship.
And stewardship, it's their land.
Yeah, the more you are taking care of your parkland, the more ownership you have, the less likely you are to hurt it in any way, and the more likely you are to want to take care of it, because you again have some skin in this game.
Right, and that brings up the question of kids taking care of their parks rather than vandalizing their parks. Do you see that kind of vandalizing in parks at all?
You know, in our strategic planning process, we heard comments that we need to provide more opportunities for older kids using our parks. We have many playgrounds meant for kids under, say, 10, and fewer opportunities or structured opportunities in our playgrounds for kids 10 to, say, 18. So we have heard that comment pretty regularly as we've gone through our district meetings. And, you know, we welcome specific ideas about things that might be that might fit a need there. We've constructed in the last few years a skate park near the Spinard Recreation Center because of that need being voiced. And that was a very successful project done with a lot of community support, and very exciting to fill that kind of a need in that community.
Yeah, so, private donations and volunteers put the skate park together. I know they're interested in the Northeast Community Council to attract a skate park in their area of town.
Right, and it was funny, again, you anticipated that I was going that direction with the skate parks, because sometimes the skateboarders do create a lot of negative comment when they start doing their thing, like down the middle of C Street. You know? Mm-hmm.
And watch out for those sidewalks that don't have any snow on them, because there could be a skateboarder coming down the road.
Yeah, well, obviously a huge amount of planning and detail goes into providing a beneficial and positive park experience for wide group of ages, ethnicities, and interests. Beth mentioned earlier the dog parks. We still have all three?
I believe there are four. Connors Bog, mm-hmm. University Lake.
There's the there's another one, the third one, and I can't remember where it is. But now there's four. Well, a lot of dog people in this town.
Oh. We'll think of the other ones before the end of the show.
I have a puppy. She doesn't go to dog parks yet.
Well, my dog certainly enjoys the dog park, and I bring that as one of my uses, other than biking and walking. I bring my dog Ruby to the University Lake. She's a Chessie. She loves to swim, and once she's in that water, that's it. She's going to stay in that water as long as she can before I drag her out bodily.
University Lake has a park project scheduled this summer. The Youth Employment and Parks teens are going to help build a trail that is a viewpoint to the lake from the hospital, the Alaska Native Hospital there. And it's in cooperation with the Tudor Center Trust, which is a nonprofit arm of the hospital. And then there's a new hotel that's going to be put in there. And the people that stay in that hotel tend to be people that will be visiting the families in the Alaska Native Hospital. So hopefully we're going to have not only the Youth Employment and Parks teens will be doing some work there, but I hope we have a big volunteer day for the South Central Foundation youth that are involved. And we'd even like to get some beautiful signage that celebrates different cultures along that trail, because we'll have, all the indigenous populations of Anchorage are represented in that hospital, and they get some nice use out of that parkland, ADA accessible trail use.
Right, and I know some years ago there was a bit of an argument over closing that park. I know at the University Dog Park and closing the dog portion of it anyway. And how was that resolved? I mean, I know I went down in the assembly and testified in favor. A bunch of us did.
Well, it wasn't really resolved. It's interesting if you survey park users, and most people are dog owners. The reaction, the need for off-leash dog, not everybody has it. A lot of people are happy with parks where they take their dogs on walks and they don't request off-leash use. So you want to stay connected with the community in terms of the need. Mm-hmm. And, there's been a lot of participation that there are need for off-leash dog park, and we've just retained the ones that were established in recent history.
And then during our strategic planning process, we heard comments about conflicts with dog park or dog owners who take their dogs to parks. So, we all, in a diverse society, we need to balance those uses and try to keep everybody happy as much as we can.
Right, and I think part of that is observing park regulations. Keep your dog on the leash unless you are in the dog area, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. I use the parks a lot. My husband and I like to walk, and we're always encountering skiers and bikers, and they're
using
so
good
polite.
Petiquette, right?
Petiquette, yeah. Dog walkers. And, where was I? My train of thought went out. But we were talking about the various uses and trying to please this huge variety of people, of genders, of ages, of ethnicities, of interests. How about, I'm noticing these four parks that are on the Summer Park and Play program. Three of them are on lakes. Now, how about child safety? I noticed these. I live near Westchester Lagoon, and there is a display of kids don't float.
Right.
The life vests for the park department provides that as well.
We have lifeguards at Goose Lake and Jewel Lake, and those are healthy, active lifeguard programs. Those are two very popular parks over the summer, and I do hope we get some nice weather and more beach going this summer. But Goose Lake in particular, and Jewel Lake as well, also has a nice big field and a picnic shelter. And so there's a nice nice play equipment, so there's a lot of opportunity to do fun play at those lakes.
Right. And how about, like, security? I mean, is there any special police detail that watches parks? Or say if there was an event in a park, is there a special security needed?
We typically don't require that as a department. However, we do have closure signs in our parks, so parks are closed, I believe, from 11 p.m. until 6 a.m. That's really the only regulation we have, and it's up to all of us to sort of call in problems that we see happening in parks.
Right. We're working on a park ranger program. We hope to have 3 park rangers employed full-time this summer. They can't be in all 223 parks at once, but they can have a presence. And what we know about park safety is that when there are active recreation programs happening, or even when there's a park maintenance or ranger presence, it does deter nefarious activities.
Well, I haven't encountered any nefarious activities in the parks in all these years. I did want to mention landscaping, because I know the city has that wonderful big greenhouse up by Russian Jack. How is that done? During June, July, August, the landscaping, the flowers in our parks are just jaw-dropping. I mean, I'm just impressed every time. I mean, how does that happen?
There are many places that are actually adopt a flower garden little sites at our neighborhood parks. I've spoken with quite a few people who go to great personal effort to provide a beautiful entry to parks, just contributing out of their own sense of good.
But we have year-round professional horticulture employees. And then we have this great troop of seasonal staff as well that tend to return every year because they love their horticulture job. And they're out there every morning at 4 a.m. watering. It takes a lot of care and attention. But it's also nice to have the land of the midnight sun, right?
I'm impressed at the massing of the different colors. And you know what I really love? The big geraniums at the bus stops, the big salmon colored geraniums with the magenta geraniums. That just knocks me out every time.
In Fairview, you can even take care of one of the medians that's planted with flowers. So there's a lot of community involvement at the neighborhood level there.
So it's a great collaborative effort. All the plants are started in and grown at the greenhouse. They're planted and then many times taken care of, sometimes by our folks and sometimes by community support.
Mm, yeah. Well, we do have a question. Beth mentioned earlier that a good bit of our parkland is left sort of in a wild state, and that a certain percentage of it is manicured lawns and trails and fields, playing fields. But I do have an email here from Susan, and she says, is there something that can be done about the ever-increasing dandelion population in the parks?
Wow.
That's a toughie.
I don't think we use pesticides.
Good.
You know, that's something we now have a urban forester, and while dandelions are probably a smaller version of what he's going to be interested in, it's part of the ecosystem that he's going to be caring about as he gets into his job.
We are active participants in this program called Citizen Weeds Warriors, and we do go after invasive plants. Dandelions are one, but they're not a very scary example. There are other examples that invade entire ecosystems. There's one out there called the purple loosestrife, and all this information can be found on the Anchorage Park Foundation website because we got a small grant a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But there are people that really are concerned about eradicating some of these weeds that are, say, blocking waterways and fish passages and changing the Anchorage landscape without our consent. So they get out there and I even saw some of the volunteers GPSing. some of the purple loosestrife plants so that they could find out, you know, whether if we were pulling it out by the root, whether it was growing,
coming back.
Mm. So, yeah, the weeds are taken very seriously, you know, when they're impacting our habitat.
Well, for Susan, if you're listening, I will tell you with authority and from experience that the only way you get rid of dandelions is to dig them up one at a time. And even then, you might not do it. Well, we are running short on time, and I did want to cover one more quick topic. Walking through the Cuddy Park behind the Lusac Library, it's stunning. And it began as a citizen initiative. It was volunteers who decided that that's where they wanted a park. How does one get a new park going, Beth? I mean, is there a way? Is there channels to go through, or is it done? Are any new parks out there?
Well, we haven't done acquisition through the Anchorage Park Foundation yet. It definitely takes an active group of citizens that start talking to their politicians, and maybe we start looking at acquiring the lands with municipal funds, or there's possibilities for trading parcels of land with land that we already have. So you need some political leadership, I'd say, is a place to start. And then, Suzanne, you have anything to add?
Well, if a group is interested in developing an amenity, for instance, at a local park next to them,
that we can do.
We have challenge grant opportunities through the Anchorage Park Foundation where a citizen group can develop their plan and submit it to the Anchorage Park Foundation for the possibility of funds to make it real.
Okay. And I'd like to remind my listeners that for more information on Anchorage Parks, the Neighborhood Park Fix-Its, or the Summer Park and Play Program, or just how you can get involved in keeping up your community park, and remember, it is your community park, check out the websites www.muni.org/parks or www.anchorageparkfoundation.org. And I would like to thank my guests today, Beth Nordlin, and she is the Deputy Director of Anchorage Parks, and Suzanne Little, and she is a Senior Parks Planner. And I'd also like to encourage you all to get out there, use your parks, find out more about your parks, figure out what uses you can get out of your parks, and enjoy yourself. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you on the trails.
I hope so.
Community Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Community Forum on our website at kska.org, where you can also find links to additional information on today's topic, including all the websites mentioned on today's show. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508, or email communityforum@ksKA.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.